This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January 27th, episode 1347, brought to you by, well, you guys, the listeners, the auditors. Thank you very much. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, that's like there's so many trumpets. I feel like I should be saluting somebody.
That has to be my favorite opener that Jennifer's ever done. I have to say, I just love that one.
I like anything with Mr. Ed in it.
Take a listen. This is for you guys. It's certainly not for me. I want to wish a belated happy Australia Day to everybody down under. Just let you enjoy for a minute.
Stop talking.
Okay, and that's all I can play without getting sued. So.
Come on! it's like, what? Like, they gotta, like, let it wind down. Okay, sorry. Okay, for those who, seriously, there are some of you still out there who have not seen
Me.
The Man of Snowy River.
Jennifer.
You too should be ashamed of yourself. How do you not watch the most epic, greatest horse movie of all time? And when you watch The Man from Snowy River and it's over, and you're like, God, there has to be a second one. There is. And you can watch it right afterwards and not wait 12 years like the rest of us had to, okay? You get to go, just go for it. But you seriously have to see that. It's such a wonderful, epic Australian love / horse story about wild Brumbies and the mountain man falling in love with the rancher's daughter. And oh my God, the mountain scenes and the horseback riding and the deep throat kissing. It's just all wonderful.
It's the ultimate Australian chick flick. When you know what kind of movie it's going to be, when the songs are entitled Jim's Ride, The Chase, uh-huh. Jessica's Theme, Henry Dies, Rosemary Recalls, you know what kind of chick flick it's going to be. Oh, and then there's Jessica's Sonata.
It's Clancy's Theme, I think, is one of them.
Oh, Clancy's Theme. Oh, you want to hear a little bit of Clancy's Theme?
Yeah.
Okay. I got to get off the other one before they sue us. Okay. All right, I would be asleep in 10 seconds watching this movie. No offense, Australians, but... Whew. Okay, before we lose Jamie tape. Totally.
I had this tape, and I would just play the tape. Like, that's how old I am, people. You played it, and then when it ended, you had to, like, take it out and turn it over, and then... put it back in and play it again.
Well, I sure you saw that Ken, who seems to be the one that starts all conversations in the auditor's private Facebook page, posted HRN Auditor's a guest wish list. And it was, what guests would you like us to get on the show? And of course, it was everybody's dreamy list. And I love the one comment about you. And the list is so long now, I don't know if I can find it. But basically, he said, if we have that person on, all Jamie's going to do is drool for 45 minutes, and that won't be much of a show. So
if you're going to like ask me who my dream guests are, I'm going to, of course, write who I would like to talk to. And apparently some ladies agreed with me.
Yeah, you had Leonardo, George Clooney, Bono.
Yeah, Jennifer,
you threw Bono in there.
I love Bono. Jennifer, if you could get to work on that list, it was, yeah, I believe it was George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio, Bono, and Chris Hemsworth.
Charlotte Desjardins got a few votes, too. You might hear Charlotte on the Horse Radio Network on our on the Brook evening, which we are calling Donkey-thon, by the way.
Yay.
So they left. I was surprised they kept that name. Ian Miller, there were actually some horse people on the list here, but most of them were celebrities that showed up. Viggo Mortensen, who's that?
Yes, Viggo. He's the rider in Hidalgo.
Oh, we did see that movie.
He was the king, and he was King Aragorn in all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Shania Twain's on that list. We have tried to reach out to her and gotten nowhere. The Queen, well, she knows we are, but she hasn't volunteered. And we also haven't gotten our tickets to go to the Queen's 90th birthday party either.
You know, I could actually probably get Shania by just doing... I'm going out tonight. I'm feeling out.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Sure she'll be jumping up and down to come on the show now. Down. The Boss. Well, you know, there's a chance we could get the Boss on. There's a small chance. Robert Redford. Boy, Robert Redford's not somebody you hear about a whole lot anymore.
The best thing about being
Richard Gere and Kevin Bacon were on the list.
Yeah, that's great.
Miranda Lambert. She's a horse girl. So if you can get it, of course, you know what my vote was for. Kaylee Kiko.
Well, yeah, I was surprised you didn't post Carrie Underwood.
Yeah, but you know, I'm on a Kaylee kick now because she's actually a horse girl.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. Well, you just, Jennifer, I hope you got pen to paper, honey, and you're writing all this down.
Yeah, write all that down. Get on it, Jennifer. Chop, chop.
Good luck with that.
I've got every one of them. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Sending out nasty emails today.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? Let me get Glenn back.
On today's Crapulous Wednesday edition, and you just heard one of them. Once we have trotted merrily through the latest equine-esque headlines, we're going to head out to the paddock for a chat about track paddocks with Aileen Blickle. And I'm sorry, Aileen, for butchering your name, but there's a lot of letters in there, and I don't know how to say them all. And then it's across the pond for a hilariously horsey Horse and Country TV European report. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Elaine. Remember we talked about this. I think it's Elaine.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out who's right. We had a whole discussion for 5 minutes about her name before we started. Gwen Stefani, for everybody who keeps telling me Gwen Stefani got a horse, we know, and I reached out to her on Twitter, but I have not heard back. So I think her and Blake are busy. So I just, I cannot get Gwen to come on the show. So.
I love that, like, she's dating Blake now, and now she's getting horses. Like, he must be the catalyst, because, you know, he was married to what's-her-name and Miranda, and they had horses together. So I wonder if Blake's the horse guy. So forget her. Let's get to him. Send out a
get them both on. We can have the first couple interview from Blake.
Oh my
and
God,
Gwen.
That was the cutest thing ever. I'm dying.
And aren't the regular listeners are going, wow, this is becoming a celebrity show? No, not really. We have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah. No. Daily Winnies. Let's go.
Oh, I still got music. Snowy River is still going. Sorry about that. All right, my Daily Winnie goes out to a mule named Old Bub. Yep, Old Bub. Apparently, right now, there's an initiative in rural Kentucky, and you lived in Kentucky. Did you ever get to eastern Kentucky when you lived in Kentucky?
We would trail ride in western Kentucky, and I don't know if you can get more rural than that. But
yeah, well, you can. It's eastern Kentucky,
okay.
or towards West Virginia. And it very rural, very mountainous, very hilly. And one of the initiatives in Kentucky right now is to get gigabit internet, which is like better than any of you have that are listening to the show, to rural Kentucky. They have a goal to give everybody the best internet possible in Kentucky. Well, when you have to run fiber optic cable to some of these places in rural Kentucky, you can't get a truck or a vehicle or anything. So what they have done is they have hired Old Bub, the mule, to help run the fiber optic cable. So he pulls the spool and they go up these mountains and down these mountains because it's the only way they can get the fiber optic cable to some of these spots is with a mule. So isn't that cool?
That is really cool. And that's when you are making the drive from Kentucky to West Virginia, Like when I drove through West Virginia, it's amazing, the hills and the mountains, just what you're talking about. And you will go for hours, like an hour, and not see anything. And then you'll see like four trailers. And then you go, yep, keep going in. There's nothing like,
and
those
oil,
people are going to get massively awesome internet. And yes, I'm sitting here buffering right now. Like, what the heck?
And then you see gas and oil wells out in the middle of the side of a mountain, just going up and down. They're all, yeah, over the place in West Virginia. It's the most bizarre thing. But yeah, you're right. There's just nothing out there. But we had to drive. We would drive from Pennsylvania to Lexington, Kentucky with Bit of Britain's rigs. And he had like 40, 42-foot goosenecks.
Oh, my God.
We would be doing, on those mountains in West Virginia, we would be doing about 20 miles an hour up those hills. Just bogged down up those, yeah, hills. And if you have to go to the bathroom, you're screwed. There's not a bathroom for 5 hours.
Don't knock on that trailer door if there's only three trailers right there, okay? Because that's like... That's three generations.
We
right
had
there.
To actually had to get off and find a bathroom at one point with our rigs, and we found this little tiny gas station in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia. And let me tell you what, we were all a little concerned having to pull off at that gas station.
Do you want some TMI? Here
yes,
we go.
Yes.
And I learned this when I was pregnant, because you have to pee every 5 minutes. Don't stop at a gas station. Just pull off the exit ramp, open your front and your back door, and just squat down in between them. And that's what I do, and that's how world. Like, you gotta go, you gotta go. I don't want to wash my hands.
How many times have people stopped and asked if you needed help, thinking you were broken down?
Never, because I mean, I'm quick. Let's do this thing. Boom, boom. So you pull off the exit and you kind of stop right there, and then when you go to get back on the exit, you just go straight. You don't have to turn around. I mean, I've driven with a horse trailer a lot, so
quite a show this morning. We've gone from Gwen Stefani to peeing in West Virginia.
Don't break it down, Glenn. Don't break it down. Give me a winning here. My daily Winnie goes out to Ludovine Hamlin. Ludovine Ooh. Hamlin. Ludovine is a bloodhound that had to pee, and his owner let him out. So the owner lets him out, and Ludovine decided that he was going to follow everybody and entered a half marathon and ran the half marathon, the entire thing, and apparently came in seventh place. So... This girl, her name is April. She opens the door to let her dog outside, you know, no leash, no nothing, just opens the door. Go ahead, Ludovine, go on, pee-pee, come on back. Well, Ludovine saw all the runners and took off, and they actually timed him, and he ran it in an impressive hour and 33 minutes, and he plowed the entire course through, came in seventh place overall, and was awarded a medal. Now, Ludovine
was bored. He needed some exercise.
The owner, this is in Alabama, by the way. Their Facebook page, they put, this is the race, whatever the name is. They were interviewed in Runner's World, and the owner said, "My first reaction was that I was embarrassed and worried that she had possibly gotten in the way of the other runners. All I did was open the door. She ran the race on her own accord. She's really laid back and friendly, so I can't actually believe she ran the whole half marathon, because she's really, really lazy."
And yeah, and they're not known for like long distance running.
No, I gotta call BS on this whole thing, but I'm
maybe a Jack Russell, but.
Yeah, I'll post a picture of Ludovine in her medal, and it is about the cutest thing.
Although, when we went trail riding at your house, there's little Lucky with his 2-inch legs, you know, trotting along, keeping up.
That is true.
You know, I was shocked that Lucky was coming along, and that was when you first got him, when he wasn't even healthy yet. So,
yeah. That's how paranoid he is of being left behind. I'm just going to go. I have to like, if we're going to go for a long ride, I have to actually lock him in the backyard. Cause I'm like, you can't do it, bud. You'll be limping by the time you get back. Don't tell him.
His ears dragging the ground the whole time.
I know. He's so cute. But yeah, so maybe it's true, but I'm going to post a picture of Ludovine and his medal on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page if you want to see the cutest little bloodhound ever with his little runner's medal. It's adorable.
All right, cool. Well, you had a news story, didn't you? Or is that it? That was one of the ones you wanted to talk about.
I can keep going. You want me to talk for the next hour and a half? Okay, not a problem. American Pharoah just went on to be, the horse just continues to slay records. And for the first time in the history of the Lexington Herald Leader, which is the newspaper that happens in, that goes on in Lexington, Kentucky, he was just given Lexington Herald Leader Kentucky Sportsman of the Year honors. And you're thinking, well, okay, like, it's Kentucky racehorses.
Yeah, he just won the international one. Who cares?
Other horse has ever won in Kentucky the Sportsman of the Year. The closest that any horse has ever come was fourth place, and that was Seattle Slew. So the fact that he was Kentucky bred, they're saying that Kentucky bred horses are eligible for the award, but no horse has ever won it. And so he just continues to dominate and break records. So there you go.
Wow. Well, you know what? You know that we're big supporters of the para riders, and they come on the dressage show on a regular basis and do episodes with us, and we've done fundraisers for the para team in the past. Well, there's a para rider, and I apologize to anybody eating breakfast right now. There's a para rider in England that I got to tell you about. Her name is Karen Bostock, and she many years ago had a really good operation. She had a barn. She was running. She had 40 horses. She started riding at the age of 3. She was a really big horse person. And then in 1987, on July 14th, she had a fatal freak car accident, is what they call it, apparently near a bridge on a country road in rural England, which anybody that has been there knows what those are like. She went off the road and ended up, and I don't know how exactly this happened, but she ended up with a fence post through her chest. She was impaled on a fence post, and she the impact removed her collarbone, chest, and top ribs. She shattered her shoulder blade, her fractured spine, nerve and tissue damage. Needless to say, that it was a miracle that she was even saved that day by some paramedics who were very good at their job. And she ended up in the hospital for a very long time, in rehab for a very long time. Well, she is now an up-and-coming star 20 years later on the British para team. She's back to riding. They said she would never walk again, that she would never feel her legs again, that she would never do most of the things that they thought. She would be a quadriplegic in bed, but now she's walking, she's riding again, and that just goes to show you what determination can do. Here's a woman that they thought wouldn't live, and she's back on her horse, and she's apparently quite an inspiration for the para team over in England. So
what sport is she participating in?
That it's para show jumping?
Yes,
that's crazy.
Yes, she's parachute jumping. So she just thinks that apparently she just like oversteered and she didn't know what was going on, but they told her that she would never do any of this again. And here she is all these years later, you know, recovered and riding. So
God, you think you wake up and you're like, I'm having a bad day, I'm not going to ride my horse, or like, oh, my back hurts or something. All you have to do is think about incredible people like her and just how take a look at your situation. You know, you had a bad day, you stubbed your toe. Like, there's true people that are going through so much that get on that horse and like to go to all the way to show jumping in the Paralympics. Like, oh my gosh, that's just amazing. What an amazing, I'm speechless.
I know. It is amazing. Go ahead.
No, you go.
I need a drink.
Okay. Well, then I've got a list for you. And gentlemen, sit down. And ladies, girls, if you are listening, if your parents are listening to this show right now, I don't know whether it would be, but turn it up, because I've got a list for you. It's the 10 reasons you should buy your daughter a horse. I mean, daddy, are
we
you
should
listening?
Be doing this one on tomorrow's show, the Horse Husbands episode.
Oh, see? Perfect. Well, you can carry it on till then. So it's actually like...
No, ours would be the 10 reasons why you shouldn't buy your daughter a horse.
There, you should write that down.
I'll write the counter one as you're writing as you're going over this one.
Okay, you can't though, because there is no reason for a girl not to have a horse.
Okay, go ahead. I'll see what I can do.
See what you can come up with. All okay, right, the first one is they teach responsibility. And it's true. I remember growing up and, you know, my friends were like sneaking out or going out and doing stuff. And I was in high school. I'm like, I can't sneak out. I have a horse show at 5 a.m. I need to get up for. So responsibility.
So do hamsters.
Uh-huh. They improve self-esteem.
Have you ever tried to catch a hamster that got loose in the house?
No. Okay.
Takes a day.
You keep your list to yourself. Okay. You can read it afterwards. They improve self-esteem, obviously, because it's an animal that they love and adore, and it offers unconditional love right back. That's boosting self-esteem. There's nothing, they says, nothing like the sound of your horse whinnying at your arrival to make you feel loved. God, isn't that the truth, Jennifer? Isn't it just the best thing when you walk outside and they go, or you walk into the boarding stable and they pop their head out and they see you down the barn aisle and they're so happy to see you. Oh, I just love that.
Now, they're all happy to see anybody that walks by with food, but we won't.
You keep your list to yourself.
I'm not arguing with you. I love when my pony comes running up to the fence to see me. Now, I know for a fact that
it's a little put out when Scooter doesn't run up.
Yeah, yeah. But he also runs up for everybody that shows up at the barn. So, you know.
Well, that's your problem. Just for me. My horse speaks just to me. Okay. Horses build your immune system. And again, this is the list of why to buy your daughter a horse.
All right. I want to hear this one.
Well, this is a British, so let's face it. We've all finished mucking out and sat down with a cup of tea and biscuit without washing our hands, haven't we?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
And thankfully, most horse diseases are not communicable to humans. So
we think anyway.
Hey, Glenn.
Yes.
Let us pause for just a moment.
Yes.
Just a moment here. Let me get this. Okay. Something important just happened.
Uh-oh.
That's for you for coming up with the word communicable.
That was the biggest word I've used all week. Yeah. So.
No, can I get back to my list now?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
They teach the value of money. How's that going?
How to spend it?
Also read as they teach you how to be poor, it says.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
You basically have to be responsible for the budgeting and the finances. And yes, horses can be expensive, but it also goes on to say that teach your horse to love a horse. Teach your children to love a horse, and they will never have money for drugs.
That's true. I agree with that one. We don't need to change that one at all.
They instill patience. What's the saying? If you're not a humble person, your horse will make you humble. I learned patience at a young age because of trailer loading. I will get this horse in that trailer and I will take a big stick and I will hit him on the butt. And he went bam and kicked me in the ribs and broke all my ribs. So I learned patience that day.
Yeah, you did. And also pain.
Yeah. And that was the moment my dad's like, I'm getting my shotgun. He's going to shoot the horse. Like, it was like the little girl nightmare drama.
Oh, God.
Daddy, don't kill Flicka. Like, seriously.
I can see your daddy, too, in his southern, in his extreme southern accent saying that.
I'm getting my gun. No, just call the ambulance. Leave the horse alone. It's my fault. I even said that. Like, I was like, I should have hit him with a stick, Daddy. We don't shoot him. Like, it was just as melodramatic.
And everybody that has horses could picture this whole scene falling, you know, coming down. Meanwhile, the horse is taking off down the driveway. It's like.
No, Marche decided that was the best time to, as I'm curled up in the fetal position, graze in my belly button area. Like, just eat grass. Like, he didn't know. I hit him. He kicked me. It's like one-on-one. Like, he just didn't realize he wins. But no, it was as melodramatic as you can imagine. Daddy's getting the gun. Mama's screaming. The girl's, don't shoot my horse. Ah! And then the ambulance is on the way. The sirens are going. Daddy! like, don't kill my pony. Like, as bad as you can imagine. Okay.
You know, and they get real excited, too, when the ambulance drivers hear a horse accident. They always get very excited about
there,
that.
There must have been 40 ambulances, cop cars, and police cars.
If you're driving, by the way, I learned this the hard way with Jennifer a few times. If you're driving to the hospital and you don't want to wait in the waiting room in a long line, you call ahead and say, I'm bringing somebody in that has a horse injury. When you show up, they take you right in immediately. There's no questions.
I haven't had that experience.
Yeah, there's my helpful hint for the day, okay?
There we go. Yeah. Now we know. Yeah. Let's see. The horses are great at keeping secrets. Ain't that the truth? As a teenager, you always just sit there and talk to your horse. I still do. What am I kidding? Like, Thor, what can I do about Lucas and he's not sleeping through the night.
You know, do you think your horse ever just is thinking, oh, would you just shut up? I'm tired of hearing this.
I think Thor's like, would you stop singing? Stop it.
I know exactly how he feels.
Another reason to buy your daughter a pony is they teach focus and ambition. Ain't that the truth? You want to get to a horse show and you want to do well, you better practice. You have to have focus. I still do better with a goal. They come with a built-in social life. And she goes on to write, this is so true. This author says, my entire life revolves around horses. And even though I don't have one at the moment, all of my friends are horsey. Our discussions are about horses. And she's an equine photographer. She's like, obviously, my job involves horses. It's a lifestyle and not a hobby. And I've even read that, you know, when you have a teenage girl, that her focus is around horses. Like, I have a slew of 13-year-old girls that come out here, and none of them go to the same school. And they don't want to run around with their high school friends and go to the mall after. They want to go to the barn. That's where they want to go. And it's so true that it comes with a social life, because I'm sorry, you're not the only 13-year-old girl who likes horses. Shocker, newsflash, they're all like that. So anyway, the good ones anyway.
That is true.
They provide great exercise. How many times have you heard the, well, you just sit there, your horse does all the work?
All the time.
Seriously.
In my case, that's kind of true.
You know what, though? People say that, but you have to go out. You have to get the, like, this doesn't even say this in the article, but you have to go out. You have to get the horse. You trek through the pasture, grab the horse, come all the way back. The grooming, if you're curry combing your muddy horse, your big heart rate's getting up to 120. You're out there riding. The riding is exercise. It's crazy. You're hauling water buckets. You're filling hay nets. You're taking bales of shavings and straw, and you're doing all, you're cleaning stalls. I mean, it's just amazing exercise. People ask, do you work out? No, I just have horses. That's just your answer.
That's your answer. Yep.
No, I just have horses. They keep you out of trouble as a teenage girl. And that kind of goes back to the first one is, hey, it keeps you out of trouble because I had a horse show at 5 a.m. and so I couldn't sneak out. So that's the list of the reasons, the 10 reasons you should buy your daughter a horse. And I know that we have, like, one of our listeners is a dad, and I know that you're listening right now going, yep, 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 yep. And just what you have to do. I mean,
you know what? And I agree with all of that, by the way.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not arguing with, I was just having fun with you, but I agree with all of that. Having, you know, had a ton of teenagers come through our barns over the years. I agree with all of that. It's true.
I work really hard to save a lot of them, you know, and to get them involved. You can't save all of them, but man, I've made a difference on a lot of them.
Now, the parents are broke and paupers for the rest of their lives, but the kid's fine.
Yeah. Daddy, well, you know what? Add to this list, it teaches you to marry a man with money.
Yeah, that's 11.
You look for a man with money. What do you
That's doing? Number 11. Yeah. Number 11. That's why you waited so long. You hadn't found the one with money.
I know. I should have worked a little harder. The military pay is not where it should be.
At least you found an officer. I mean, that was good.
My mom used to say, it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as it is a poor man.
Like, so there's Southern wisdom for you, too.
Yeah, that's yep, my Southern
have
mom.
That with your biscuits and gravy right there.
I mean, it's just as easy to fall in love with a rich man as it is a poor man. So you need to find yourself a rich man. You got horses.
That's funny. That's so true. You need to make that a bumper sticker. All right. We have to talk a little bit about the Clarion Hotel in Lexington. You know, Horse Radio Network hosts, we always stay at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington when we're in Lexington, Kentucky.
I just booked my room.
Yeah, for Rolex. Yay. It is where we stay every time we were there. You can book your hotel accommodations now for Road to the Horse and Rolex. And we have to find out from our listeners who's going, by the way, to both of those, because we want to have a meetup. We are going to be at the Clarion Hotel Lexington. Your rate includes a full breakfast buffet every morning, free Wi-Fi, and a free airport shuttle to and from the airport for those of you that are flying in. Clarion Hotel Lexington has a terrific full-service restaurant called Cortland Southern Kitchen. Biscuits and gravy, you can get that there. Also, if you're into bourbon, check out the bourbon sampler at the Sports Page Bourbon Bar and Grill. They have about 20 different kinds of bourbon there. And I know Jamie doesn't like bourbon at all, so she never spends any time in there. Angelo's Pizza.
They serve other drinks.
Yeah, they do. Angelo's Pizza at the Clarion Hotel. You can get some pizza. You can get it delivered to the room.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Keep that in mind. Yep. The Clarion Hotel Lexington is on Newtown Pike, which means it is literally about 10 minutes away from the park. It's an easy drive. You don't have to go on New Circle Road. Anybody that's been to Lexington before knows how important it is not to go on New Circle Road.
Yeah, there's no massive traffic going from the Clarion Hotel into the Kentucky.
It's a straight
Horse
shot.
Park.
You basically make one turn. You make a left and you're at the park.
You're right. It's one turn.
It's one. Drive down the road, make a left, and you're at the park. That's how easy it is. And you're coming in the back way to the park so you don't get stuck in the traffic jam that's off coming off the highway. So it's a perfect location. If you want to learn more about them, go to clarionhotellex.com.
They also, you failed to mention that they have a huge indoor heated pool.
Yes.
Huge. And they have hot tubs. And so last year, you know, post cross country, when you've been walking for 100 miles and you want to sit in the hot tub, do it. I will be with Lucas in the pool.
I forgot the pool was heated.
Yeah. It's awesome. We might have spent half our time.
It's like a little water park, isn't it, in there? They have slides and all kinds of stuff, if I remember right. Right?
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think they do. And it's a neat place. It's right near a bunch of different restaurants, too. So check it out.
Right next to the Cracker Barrel.
We'll be staying there for Rolex, and Mary Kitzmiller and I will be staying there when we're doing our coverage for Road to the Horse as well. So that's all coming up. Well, our first guest is on the line here, and we're going to talk to her. Her name is Elaine Blickle, and she is a lifelong equestrian and reigning competitor, is a creator director of Horses for Clean Water, an award-winning, nationally acclaimed environmental education program. She's well known for her enthusiastic down-to-earth approaches, as she's an educator and a photojournalist who has worked with horse and livestock owners for over 15 years. She teaches and travels North America and writes for horse publications. Her and her husband raise and train their reining horses at their ranch in Nampa, Idaho. And good morning, Elaine. Did I say that right? Elaine?
Yes, Elaine Blickle.
Blickle. Good. We had a whole 10-minute discussion before the show on how to say your name. So,
it's
I'm sure. it's often a source of discussion.
we were discussing how in a certain generation, there was a generation there where parents would misspell everybody's names on purpose. So there was a whole generation of people you couldn't say or spell their names. So you were in that generation.
Mine was from a poem. So.
Oh, is that how you got it? Oh.
It's spelled that way. There's other people with a name with my, you know, spelled the same way. So it's out there.
Well, we're glad to have you on. We're talking about something we've never talked about. I've never heard about it before until we saw the horse article that you did. And it's what's called track paddocks. So everybody knows what a horse paddock is. Tell us what a track paddock is and what this is all about.
Well, a track paddock is based on the principles from a book called Paddock Paradise, A Guide to Natural Horse Boarding, and that's by Jamie Jackson. And he's a farrier. He lives out west. He studied wild horses and how they moved. And he redesigned a paddock or a confinement area to be a little bit more like what wild horses would have, in that a track paddock encourages horses to move and to keep wandering around during the day. So a track paddock is a confinement area, you know, meant to be a horse's outdoor living quarters when you're keeping them off of the pasture. So you use it to keep your pasture from getting overgrazed, or if it's during the winter when they're not growing, or during the muddy season. And it can be any size. It can be big, or it can be a small track paddock. And it goes around the perimeter of your property, or the perimeter of a pasture, or around the outside of your arena. So that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be square. It can be roundish, you know, donut shaped. It can be oblong. It can be an uneven kind of shape. And
just
feed the horses.
Just to clarify, it's something that may be 10, 20 feet wide, and it's lanes, basically, right?
Yeah, it's lanes. And yeah, I've seen them that they're just even a straight, long lane, you know, not even connected. Usually it's 10 to 20 feet wide, and you can change the width in different places depending on if you want the horses to sort of loaf in one area, or if you kind of want to keep them moving on. Because if it's really narrow, it's a little too, you know, tight or uncomfortable for the horses to congregate there. So you can change the width for how you want them to move, and depending on the number of horses that you have and kind of their age and breed and temperaments. You can make it a little wider in the areas where you're going to feed them. You can have feeding stations in different areas. You can feed them a little bit in each area so that they tend to or want to wander to the from one station to the other. And you can have toys in different areas, or you can have like logs or things that they have to step over or jump over. You can do any number of things to kind of encourage them to move, and also to encourage them to think, and, you know, have more mental stimulation for them.
So basic. And would this work in smaller properties, or do you need a large property?
Oh, it works. I've seen them on everything from, you know, a couple acre property up to, you know, big properties. Works. It can be as creative as you want.
So I guess, so the theory is, instead, if you have a 2 acre field, instead of them running, you know, when they get running or moving, they're going to run straight across. They're going to take the shortest route possible. This way, they have to go back and forth and around, sort of like a maze in a way. And it just gets them more exercise, and also what you said, the mental stimulation, and probably more mimics what they're going to get in the wild.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, it can be around the perimeter, it can be on the outside of your arena, it can go around the barn. There's different things you want to be careful about. You want to be careful about corners, so they're not going to, you know, cut themselves on any kind of a corner of a building or on something metal. So you probably want to kind of round out your corners or just not have any sharp edges. Another thing I tell people is you need to think about the soil type. A track paddock's going to work best on well-drained soil, so that would be like a gravelly, sandy kind of soil. I don't recommend putting in a track paddock if you've got really organic soils, because the heavy use in those muddy or wet soils is going to quickly turn the whole thing into mud. You want to, like I mentioned before, you want to think about the width. If you want them to keep moving, you'll probably want to make it like 10 or 12 feet wide. And you want to make it, if you want them to stay in one area, or if you're worried about having a more dominant horse, then you can make it wider, make it more like 20 feet wide. You want to keep in mind, if you make it really big, that it's going to just be more potentially more time and money to maintain the whole thing, because you're still going to need to pick up manure in this area like you would in any paddock that you have or confinement area. So if, you know, if your track paddock's like, you know, 3-4 acres big, it's going to be a kind of a exercise for you every day to go around with your manure cart and pick up the manure. So you want to think about that. There's other costs, like you might need footing in the high traffic areas. And if, you know, if you've got a really big track, that might be a lot of footing. But you're going to think about fencing, because it's going to take fencing on the inside and the outside of the track. And so that's a little bit more money and more maintenance.
What does this do for, is it more mental or physical or both? I'm not sure. Well, I understand exactly what it does for them.
It's supposed to help, you know, stimulate their senses, their natural instincts, and facilitate movement, which is going to help keep a horse sound physically and mentally. And it helps reduce vices like chewing or cribbing or weaving. It's a little bit better for their feet because they're always moving, and their joints. It's going to be better for their digestive system because movement is what helps get food through their gut. So, you know, that's more natural and healthier for them as well.
It's kind of like almost how a wild horse, you know, they travel throughout the day. Now, do you have to get out there with cattle prods and chase your horses, or do they naturally just start to keep walking? Like, what makes them?
It kind of depends. Yeah, it depends on everybody's horses. But what you do in order to facilitate the movement is you put their feeding stations in different areas. So you put you just take one meal and maybe divide it into 3 or 4 meals, and you put it in different parts of the track. You either have slow feeders. A lot of times people use slow feeders with track paddocks, or you can just put the hay in a feeder in a couple of different areas. You have water in a different area so that it encourages them to move just like they would in the wild. In the wild, they don't stand and eat all their food in one spot. They get one bite here and another bite over there, and then they have to go a couple of miles to go get a drink of water, and then they come back and get another bite there. And so it's that kind of idea that you want them to move around. So you put food, water, toys, and other stimulus in different parts of the track.
Now, your Horses for Clean Water is your organization, and I know that helps with basically management, barn management or farm management. What's the biggest thing you see that we as horse owners are falling down on when it comes to managing our properties?
Well, I would say it's in the category of pasture management and confinement area management. Most people think that they, if they have horses, they should have pasture and just turn them out in the pasture. But a couple of things happen then is our pastures get overgrazed and destroyed, and they pretty soon turned into either mud bowls or dust bowls. And then they get weeds, and some of them are toxic weeds and things that are not healthy for the horse. And then the horses can get fat because our improved pastures aren't like the pastures that wild horses have. Wild horses don't have pastures. They just have.
So what do you do though?
Grass, okay. Hay here and there.
I hear you, but what do you do if you have if you only have 3 or 4 acres to keep it from, because that happens to us here in the wintertime in Florida, because we have all sand, and you mm-hmm. know, the paddocks we have them out in, you know, we have 11 acres here, but you know, we have 4 horses, and the paddocks here do get worn down too, and then in the spring they pop back up. So what do you do to avoid that? Do you have to keep them in? You know, we don't put ours in at all during the day, at all, period. They're out 24 hours. We could, but...
Yeah, well, that's, if you want to have pasture, the heart of your pasture management program is having a paddock. The technical name for it is a sacrifice area, because you're sacrificing
dry
it
lot.
As grassy.
Yeah.
Yep, or a dry lot, or a heavy use area, or a confinement area, or a corral. You're sacrificing it as grassy pasture for the sake of the rest of your pasture, and you recognize that there's going to be never going to be grass in it, but there's going to have to be certain things that you do in order to mitigate the mud and the dust and make it a horse-friendly environment. But you keep your horses there in order to not let your pasture get overgrazed. You put your horses in there before your pasture gets grazed down to about 3 to 4 inches. Beyond 3 to 4 inches, your pasture health is compromised and your plants are not going to be as healthy, and you're going to start having more weeds and compaction and soil erosion.
You know what? You just lost 70% of the audience right there. Went, oh yeah, mine's down to about a half an inch. So, Jamie, bring yours in too. You know, Jamie lives in Arizona where this is even harder. And you, how many acres do you have?
I have 3 acres.
So, and that you bring yours in every day, right? You don't let
them
out.
Yeah. I do, because it's just, they wouldn't even have anything to keep them busy if I left them out all the time. So as of now, like for this time of year, there's really nothing out there to eat. But actually what I do is I spread the hay, just like you said, like I kind of make it go all the way in a line up. So they kind of have to walk and graze, but graze on the hay, I guess. But in the spring and summer, we'll get plenty of grass to keep all the horses busy. But again, I don't leave them out 24 hours a day. So.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of times if a person did leave them out that long, you know, you'd end up with fat horses. They just
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about. Actually, we have to use muzzles here because they do get kind of chunky.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right about that.
So the sacrifice area is good for horse health, too. I mean, it's all part of it. You're taking care of the pastures as well as taking care of the horse. And then the track paddock is just one kind of sacrifice area. So it would be an alternative to having your horse out on pasture all day. It's having them on a track where they can wander around and be more like a wild horse would.
Well, there's lots of information on your website. It's horsesforcleanwater.com is the website. You can go check it out there. We appreciate you stopping by and talking about pastures, and which we all have to deal with every day.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. Thanks. It's horsesforcleanwater.com. It's where you can find that. Did you know that today is National Chocolate Cake Day?
I did not know that.
So,
because
you don't eat chocolate cake?
I'm still vegan.
Oh, that's right. You can't do good stuff. You have to eat all that crap.
No, I need to check in. I'm glad you brought that up, and we'll get to that in a second. But I got to check in with my vegan sisters that decided to go vegan with me at the beginning of the month.
They've gotten really quiet, except for one I noticed posted.
They are really quiet, and I've already found out that one has already reverted back. She made it like 4 days. You know who you are. Apparently, the cream out of her coffee was too much. She couldn't take it. So, yeah.
Well, maybe she's vegetarian.
She already was vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
And
she
was
trying to go vegan, and
to go vegan, but couldn't. I'm telling you, that was the worst part, was taking the cream out of my coffee. But by God, I drink black now.
Coffee has to be the hardest one, because you get used to your coffee a certain way, and you've been drinking it that way for 20 years. You're not going to want to change that.
It took like 2 weeks, but I'm in that phase of my vegan month. Again, it's vegan January. I'm in that phase where I'm just not hungry anymore. Like the first 2 weeks you spend starving to death, because your body's used to you putting in these heavy, you know, like cheeses and heavy eggs and things like that. And so your body has to adjust for about 2 weeks. And now it's like, my lunch yesterday was like, you know, some celery and hummus. And I was like, oh, I'm stuffed. Works. I'm telling you, this is the phase where the weight just drops off. I'm still waiting for that part, but it's going to happen. So let's check in, vegan January girlfriends. I'm going to post on Horses in the Morning, and I need to know where you guys are sitting. If you're embarrassed, I will publicly shame you.
Yes, she will. There won't be any question about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was going to say, it's okay. Just come clean. No, I'll shame you.
She will shame you, yes.
Okay, chocolate cake day.
Chocolate cake day. So go out and get some chocolate cake today for those of you that went off the Jamie's bandwagon. You can eat it.
They have If you go to like Whole
and then as you're taking each bite, you can go, screw you, Jamie. Just say
vegan
that for me.
Vegan chocolate cake. Yeah. I got vegan chocolate chip cookies at Trader Joe's.
Is it made with tofu?
Listen, you and your tofu, you just hush. It's amazing. Vegan chocolate chip.
Do you know who's starting to, I read an article on this the other day, and I was actually in there. I don't know if you guys have Aldi out where you are, but it's one of those, you know, cheap, you can get things cheaper, and the price of food here in Florida, everybody shops at Aldi too, and except their meat, don't do that. But anyway, Aldi's starting to carry a lot more gluten-free and healthy stuff because they're making an effort to compete with Whole Foods. So... when I was in Aldi the last time, there was all this gluten-free stuff, and I went, what the heck? I never even seen some of this stuff before.
Wow.
So, yeah, look at Aldi trying to step up. Well, we are going to take a break for one of our terrific sponsors, Dr. Rose's Remedies, which we keep in the house and the barn, and then we're going to play a song. I have a little Jared for you today with Above the Timberline. We're coming back with Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV in just a minute. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tax store or feed supplier, or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience. But it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college searching for my way. Textbooks for rodeo seemed a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bears. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Fate's in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Jared Rogerson. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Excuse me. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And, of course, Coach Jen is in the producer chair. Tomorrow on the show, we will have the Horse Husbands episode for you. And then Friday, Debbie Laux fills in for me on her first appearance as co-host Woo-hoo! Here on Horses in the Morning
That's
with Jamie.
Right.
Her and Jamie can geek out on Friday, so you can look forward to that coming up. Okay, I have a rant.
Uh-oh.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Oh, no.
And that goes out to the American Medical Association, the AMA, who still refuses to acknowledge that Lyme disease can be chronic and that everybody is cured within 3 weeks. That is, all of you who are longtime listeners know that is one of my pet peeves, having chronic Lyme disease. And, you know, what it's taken to really at least start the conversation going and to have some states actually make laws declaring that chronic Lyme disease exists. I don't know that that's ever happened with any other disease. It is celebrities getting Lyme disease. And I just learned yesterday that Ashley Olsen of the Olsen twins.
Uh-huh.
Apparently is suffering. She's had it for years, a couple of years after a tick bite. She contracted the disease several years ago. Reports are coming out that her symptoms are getting worse. She is actually taking a step back, and she's at the point now, and everybody that's had chronic Lyme disease, and I know a lot of our listeners have, she's apparently in a lot of pain right now and is getting the thing where your whole body, you know, just feels like needles are like somebody sticking a needle in every part of your body. That's from the nerve problems that you get with chronic Lyme disease. So, and she also has the neurological thing. That's what mind manifests itself as. It's called brain fog and forgetfulness. So now I have never seen either of the Olsen twins smile. So I don't know how you could tell if they're unhappy, but every time you see them out in public, they're never smiling. And for billionaires, you'd think I'd be smiling all the time.
I have a hard time thinking she got it from a tick bite because, like, aren't they kind of indoor girls?
Yeah. And I think one of them actually has horses.
Oh, you're right.
One of them does have horses and probably on Long Island because I think they live in New York City. But apparently, and I love this too, because Jennifer can attest to this, she is really struggling. It comes out in anger. She's at the point where she's having a hard time dealing. She is just all around cranky. And I spent a whole year that way. So anybody that has to live, the significant other with somebody that has Lyme disease and gets to that point, they should be blessed. It has actually taken celebrities for this to become a thing that people actually talk about, but still the American Medical Association refuses to acknowledge it because of why it's going to cost the insurance companies a ton of money treating it. And so they're just siding with the insurance companies at this point.
Uh-oh. I need a moment.
So that's my rant for
I'm
the day.
I'm sorry. I did see the picture that you posted about her being sick, and they think they photoshopped a little bit.
Yeah, she looked pretty bad in that picture. But then again,
who's like, I'm really sick, I'm going to fix my hair and take my picture. Like, nobody does that. They photoshopped it, poor little thing. She feels bad, and then they're... if I was her, I'd be like, that's
if she goes on the Lyme diet, she's just going to wither away and there won't be anything. She'll just become dust and blow away in the wind.
Poor little thing. Yeah. Is she hungry?
Well, if you're on the Lyme diet, she has not, you know, wasn't one of them anorexic?
Oh, gosh. I can't keep up with my Olsen twins drama.
See, this is just celebrity news like crazy today. And it looks like... looks like your son also can't keep up on the Olsen twins.
He's a huge Olsen twin fan.
And that's
so
what
when
it was.
You talked about Ashley and Mary Kate, he just immediately comes in the room like, what's going on? You know, he has started getting a little bit nosy. And he's my own personal paparazzi. Like, I go outside and I come back in. I can be out there for 30 seconds, take out the trash, come back in. Where have you been? and go, started to go outside. Where are you going? Like, what? Are you my parent? You don't need to know where I am every minute.
Your son has become a stalker. You're going to need a restraining order soon.
If he gives, somebody gives him a camera, we're in trouble.
That's right. In another 5 years, he won't care where you are.
Yeah, so, I know. I know. I should enjoy the fact that he cares where I am right now.
Yeah, enjoy it right now because that's going to go away soon enough. No. All right. It is that time of the week. And I wish I could find that time of the week. Here we go.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
It's time to talk to our dear friend Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country. How are you, Victoria?
I'm good, but you had me worried for a second. I thought I was going to have to sing my theme tune there.
Oh, so. Wait a minute. I can't find your theme tune. Rewind. Go ahead.
Give a dollar.
We're ready.
I'm not sure I can do an impression of trumpets.
Well, I won't make you do it because the time has passed. Glenn found it, but next week. I'm sorry, can't find it. I was going to sing it too, so I get it. What's going on in England and Great Britain? How are you?
I am good. Yeah, all good with me. I lunged my pony first thing this morning and she went round and round in circles at top speed while I said steady about 6,000 times and she paid minimal attention to me. So that was good. That's retraining a racehorse going well there.
Yeah, they love it to spin around in circles. Now, steady, I've never actually said steady. Glenn, have you ever said steady to your horse?
No.
That's so British. I love it. I'm going to use that all the time.
Sit, like, stay, go away. You know, I've done all those.
Steady. I can hear you saying that. Steady now. Steady now. I love it. I'm stealing that.
And she just ignores me. So it's completely.
Yeah, so it doesn't work.
She doesn't speak British. Obviously, you need to speak American to her and be like, easy, settle.
I'm going to try that next time. But she doesn't have an excuse. My last ex racer was born in America. So he might have had that excuse.
Oh, well, then he speaks Spanish. British. No, he speaks Spanish if he was born in America.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
You'd have to learn that language too. But so now talk to me a little bit about this terrible story that you have about the child in the hospital.
Yeah, it's a really sad story. There's a little boy who was out riding his pony and he was hacking out with his mum and another teenage girl on her horse. And somebody on a dirt bike, like an off-road bike, came towards them, and instead of slowing down, they purposely did a wheelie and drove straight at them, and it caused the bigger horse to spook and to run away, and then the little pony went after it, and this poor little boy has fallen off and he got taken to hospital, and in the end he's fine, and you know, the mum sort of saying, I really hope he hasn't lost his confidence and he's going to get back on his pony, but it's just not what you want when you're taking your child out. So a really inconsiderate driver there.
No, and we were to see the picture of this little boy that you guys have posted, you know, where he's like in traction basically, like when they picked him up. Oh, it's just so terribly sad. He's got a big scrape on his cheek. And that's, we were talking earlier, Victoria, that my horse, when I was younger, kicked me. And my dad was like, I'm going to get my gun and shoot that horse. You know? It was one of those dramatic events. Well, I think that as a parent, I would have to find that driver and actually shoot the driver. Like, I'm coming after you with my shotgun, you're my baby.
Yeah, I think. I mean, the reactions of people are just like that. That kid on the bike needs to be taught a lesson because, you know, it's just so irresponsible. And we had a story, I think we chatted about a few weeks ago, where a lady was out hacking and some kids threw rocks at a horse and her horse bolted. And this woman's been left paralyzed and unable to speak. And she has been hospitalized for 2 years and has only just got to go home. And it's just the inconsiderate acts of people who might think it's funny.
You know, in that case, there should be an attempted murder charge, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, basically. But, you know, you're out there riding and these kids are just hanging around in groups and they just disappear. And I know that case hasn't been solved. They haven't a clue who did it. And I'd imagine this dirt bike rider, you know, there's no plates on the bike, that he's probably wearing a helmet that covered his face. So how can they detect who it was and track him down to charge him? Because again,
he brags to somebody else and goes, "Hey man, I totally spooked this horse, man. This little kid fell off. It was great." And then that person has the heart to like turn him in.
I really hope so, because it's just, and I sometimes I wonder if they don't actually know, you know, they do these things like the kids that threw the rock or this man on the bike, they do it and then disappear and they don't think, they don't realize that their actions have consequences and very serious consequences at that, whether that's hurting a child or basically ruining a lady's life, like the other case. So yeah, it's not a very positive story.
I got to ask you, though, you know, over here we have any place there's trails, there's debates. There's always little infighting and bickering between the bicycle riders and the horse people, because, you know, do you have that? Say, you're much more a horse culture than we are. So, yeah, you know, do you still have that where the bicyclists and the horse people go back and forth?
They do, and there's always arguments about it. And I guess, you know, we are more of a horsey culture, but we've also got 60 million people in what is quite a small country, and there's just not enough room for everybody. So especially like down south, where it's more crowded, and you've got the roads are hectic, and on the trails and the bridleways and the footpaths, you know, everybody's trying to share them, and walkers don't like cyclists and riders don't like cyclists, and nobody likes each other. So it's a bit of a struggle for people trying to get access for everybody.
Well, and just as I'm reading this, to add insult to injury, the biker actually, because the little kid was being led. He wasn't, the other person wasn't riding. So he was being led. He spooked the horse. She was leading two horses. She was leading her big horse and she was leading the pony. And it pulled her off her feet, fell down. The kid falls off. To add insult to injury, it says here, the biker turned around, came down past the riders again, made an obscene gesture and was laughing.
Yeah, it's just horrible. So there you go. He did know full well what had happened, and just didn't care. It's horrible. I hope he gets caught.
Oh, well, people that like him that don't get caught, it catches up with them. That's one part I try to make myself feel better. Now, tell me about the major film star that you guys have coming up.
No, a much brighter story about a child. This is a little girl called Lily Aspel, and she's from a very horsey family. So her uncle won the Grand National. It's his second consecutive Grand National. Her mum is a former jockey. Her dad is a jockey. And so she's been in the saddle for a very long time. And she's a very cute little kid, very, very pretty little kid. And
that's an understatement, by the way. She's just adorable.
She is adorable. And you might have seen her before, because she went viral maybe about a year ago when Horse and Hound shared a photo of her jumping a crosspole, and she was way out of the saddle with her little legs sticking out. And this picture went viral. And I saw it again recently in Horse Collaborative. And so it keeps doing the rounds. So she's already had a share of mass fame. And she loves acting and loves performing. So she got taken on by an agent, and she's landed a part in a Hollywood film. So they haven't named what it is yet. I'm not entirely sure why, but the film is in production, and it's starring some big actors, and she's going to play the lead role when she was younger, I believe. So and she's getting to ride in the role, so it really suits her she's horsey. So she's going to be in a Hollywood blockbuster. So sorry that a British girl has come and stolen what is probably meant to be an American part.
But yeah, but you know what? A lot of our movies are filmed in Britain now.
It's true. I think they're filming some in LA and some in the UK and some in Italy. So she's at 8 years old. She's going to be traveling around and doing all these amazing things, and getting to go to costume fittings. And she's already met a team of stunt horses, and she got to have a ride on the horse that played Joey from War Horse. So just very exciting times for her.
I'm sorry, non-British listeners, is there anything cuter than an adorable little kid with a British accent? I mean, could you die?
Like, it's true. It is true. It's always surprising for us, by the way, when we hear when we hear that coming out of a child, it's always surprising for us. And you just go, wow, they talk like that when they're little too.
I'm intrigued to find out what accent Lily has, because apparently she's been having dialect training. So I'm not sure whether she's talking with more of an American accent or a very English accent, because actually her mum is Scottish. So I don't know.
She sounds like you.
Yes, indeed, and yeah. So then she'll need subtitles. So yeah, she's that just helps. A Scottish accent even cuter. So I can't. I think her dad is English, either English or Irish. I can't remember, but yeah. So she.
Well, you know, Victoria, you've been coming on this show for 5 years, and I can only think of two or three episodes where I had to put subtitles in.
So. when I say horses, books is the other funny one, like books and yeah. Yeah.
When you really, you can turn it on and off though. You get much thicker. You get much thicker. We can tell when you've been home. And then you've just come on the show after you've gotten home from Scotland. We can tell that it's thicker.
Oh, yeah. Well, I try living down south, and my first job was at Horse and Hound, and everybody was so frightfully well-spoken that I had to I had to lose the accent a bit, or I'd confuse everybody.
And it gets, what? And there's different, there's thicker accents in certain parts of Scotland too, right?
Yeah, so I think Glasgow is really strong, and they have a rising inflection, so everything they say sounds like a question mark. And Highlands is much more sing-song, so I'm from the East Coast, so it's maybe not as harsh, unless you watch the film Trainspotting. Have you heard of that film?
No.
Ewan McGregor. It's all about the kind of underclass of Edinburgh in the 1980s, and you definitely need subtitles for that one.
Are there some you don't even understand?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the guys I went to university with had such a strong accent, and he'd lived all over Scotland, and he just was incomprehensible. And the last time I saw him, he was on like our main channel doing a news report on the sport, on football. So I was like, if I can't understand him, how is the rest of Britain going to understand him? But there you go.
Well, it's like, Glenn, it's like a New Yorker trying to understand a Southerner, or yeah. Vice versa. You know?
When your dad was on, we needed subtitles.
Oh, my God. And if my dad talks to somebody from New York, he's like, what that guy said? I don't know. What the hell he said? I don't know. You're just talking away up there, damn Yankee. I mean, that's how my dad is.
He has the thickest Southern accent I have ever heard.
He sounds great. You have to let me know next time he's coming on the show so I can listen in.
Oh, well, hell, I'll
She doesn't let him on the show anymore.
Yeah, no more. Now, let's talk a little bit about your masterclass episode.
Now Masterclass Extra is a show that my colleague Jenny Riddle's been out making, and it's really cool. Lots of training tips, and it's available on our app, and then it goes on our TV show. But Jenny was filming, and Trevor was doing a grid work exercise, and Jenny thought it would be quite interesting to film it in slow motion. So it's really cool to see this top show jumper, how athletic he is as he does this bounce and then stretches for the oxer at the end. It's really cool.
Yeah, don't film me and Thor in slow motion. I don't want to see that up close and slow.
From the back or the front.
Everything looks better in slow motion, though. It's just you don't want to be speeded up.
I think fast forward is why you need to watch my show. Let's fast forward to this part and that part. Okay, it's over. We're done. We're good. And now your blog of the week. Why is Steph in total shock?
Well, she entered a Grand Prix with her. It's basically the second horse she's trained up to Grand Prix. And she hit the headlines with her first horse because she'd never ridden dressage.
And who is this?
She's called Steph Croxford, and she is an amateur rider. She's still got a full-time job, but she got long-listed for the Beijing Olympics about 6 years after doing her first ever dressage test, so she's very cool. And so this is the second horse she's trained up to Grand Prix, and he's called Mr. Hyde after Jekyll and Hyde, because he has got a bit of a split personality. when he's good, he's very good, and when he's not, he's pretty awful, and he can be very naughty. So she went there.
Jamie doesn't know anything about that.
No.
She's never had a horse like that.
You can tell how cheeky he is because of that picture with Steph laughing, that he's standing still and he's obviously waiting for the prize giving and he's showing off and pawing the ground.
He's beautiful though. Pretty horse. Yes,
he is stunning. So he's both her Grand Prix horses have been driving bred horses, and the first one she got, Mr. President, I think she paid £3,000 for him. He was a driving bred. He was quite small and she bought him to do some eventing and riding club stuff and ended up being one of Britain's top dressage riders with him. So there, it's a really cool story.
That's really, really cool. So did she do, how did it go in this Grand Prix? I guess we just need to read her blog to find out.
She did very well. She got 69% and she thinks she's got 69itis, and because everybody wants to get over the 70% barrier. But she came second, and actually there was quite a lot of top British names in there. So she was really happy with it, considering he's new to Grand Prix. So it's a great read. Steph's hilarious. You should definitely read her blog, and as well as riding herself, she's got two kids and lots of animals, and she has a hectic life, and she lives in the most beautiful scenic part of Britain, but very cold. It's in Derbyshire, and as she drove home from this Grand Prix, she only just made it home because the snow was coming.
I watched Pride and Prejudice last night and they talk about Derbyshire.
Yes, indeed. So that very, like, that kind of part of the world where Mr. Darcy lives.
Oh my so, yeah. God, Derbyshire, obviously.
So did you watch the BBC one, or did you watch the one with Keira Knightley? Which one did you watch?
I've seen them both. I watched the Keira Knightley one. It, you know, you can't do a mini series in an hour and a half. You know, that one takes hours and hours and hours. So I've seen them both. And
I do think it's the best one though, because the Keira Knightley one, like, Elizabeth Bennet is meant to be this kind of very charming girl, but her sister's a beauty. And then, of course, they cast Keira Knightley, who is a great beauty in true Hollywood style. So, yeah.
Sure, but her sister is gorgeous. I mean, she's really, and they kind of play Keira Knightley down a little bit, too. Look at us talking about this. But I love the BBC Mr. Darcy and then Keira Knightley as, because I don't think, I didn't like the BBC Elizabeth.
Oh, she was hugely popular over here, but I liked her. I thought she was cool.
But I liked Keira Knightley better. I think I saw Keira Knightley's first.
I think that often happens. Whereas I would have seen it the other way around back in the 90s when it was released. I think I had it on videotape, which is how long ago it was. So it was a huge cultural sensation over here when it came out. But
what's the guy who played Mr. Darcy? What's his name? Everybody,
Colin Firth. He's in Bridget Jones, and he's been in lots of.
Colin Firth played the King, right?
Yes, yeah. In The King's Speech. And he's been in a really good, very good film I saw recently called Kingsman. And so,
did you see Kingsman? We haven't seen it yet.
I loved it.
Did you?
It's very violent. But,
yeah, that's what I heard. I heard it's very violent.
But really cool, but very British as well, and lots of kind of in jokes about Britain. So, yeah, I'd be intrigued to hear.
I did like the movie. As violent as it was watchable for me, and I don't do that. So I think I only had to close my eyes once. But I watched an interview with Colin Firth, and he said that they did some sort of, like, over in England, they did a pick your favorite moment from any Colin Firth movie. And he said that what won, hands down, was him coming out of the water without a shirt on in Pride and Prejudice. And he's like, that never happened. Apparently, women in Britain have just imagined the scene and it never happened. Is that true?
He does come out of the water, but he is wearing a shirt because, you know, it would have been a bit obscene to be running around and topless in those days when you're lord of the manor and maybe your gamekeeper would find you or one of your maids or something. I don't know. But he is wearing a shirt, but everybody thinks he's shirtless. And also, that doesn't happen in the book. I have read the book and that does not happen. There is no, it's just gratuitous. Let's get the man in a wet shirt.
I wholeheartedly agree with what they did in License for that.
Well, while we're talking about British TV, is it a national crisis now that for you Downton Abbey is over?
I think people are sad to see it go. I watched the first series and then I lost interest a little bit, so I keep meaning I should sit down and watch them all. But yeah,
we've been keeping up. We're now in America. We're just seeing the last ones now, whereas you guys had finished a while back. We're just seeing them now, so I think we have a couple more to go, and then we're done.
I guess it's I guess it's hard because they keep jumping decade, and there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, they're all going to die soon. Is what's going to happen. So now that house, which you know, just has been getting huge numbers of tourists. I wonder if that's going to die off now, or it's going to take a couple years for it.
Well, it used to be site of a really big event. I'm not sure where.
Really?
Yeah, it's Highclere Castle is the name of the house that it portrays. Portrays Downton Abbey, but there used to be a really big horse trials there, but I think they stopped doing it and replaced it about 3 years ago. I don't know whether that was Downton Abbey's fault, or maybe they had enough money coming in from filming that they didn't need hundreds of horses charging around cutting up their parkland anymore. But yeah, if you Google Highclere horse trials, you'll be able to find out about it.
Wow, that's neat. I also wanted to ask you about one other story that it seems to be English Story Day here on Horses in the Morning. Where is Crawley?
It's quite near me. So
the story I'm going to talk about, right?
The Shetland pony.
Yes. So could you tell it?
Well, I haven't seen the full thing, but I did see it popping up on social media yesterday that apparently a Shetland pony got loose in the streets of Crawley and it was being chased down. Because Crawley's quite a built-up place. It's sort of south of London and it's quite near Gatwick Airport, which is one of our big airports. So, yes, I can't imagine what a Shetland pony was doing or how it managed to get loose.
It was in this residential district, and apparently it liked going down the middle of the road and went down the middle of a lot of roads. It was being chased by up to 4 police cars at one point. And it took quite a while for the police to figure out that chasing a pony with a police car is probably not the best option. And you're probably never going to catch him if you're chasing him with a police car with the lights going.
Can I just say that only a Shetland pony would be that devious? A thoroughbred would do something that stupid and run around the town and cause havoc. But you'd never get a Welsh pony escaping and running down a road. They're just better behaved. Shetland ponies are naughty. This is my theory.
There's a little prejudice there, huh, Victoria?
The Shetland pony, the one who was just got loose in an airport in England?
That does ring a bell.
Yeah, I did the story last week. It was running around on the runway, and it took like 20 people to try to corral it, and they finally just chased it out. And the perimeter fence was secure. They have no idea how the pony got in or out of this runway.
Chased. Yeah, or maybe somebody smuggled him into their hand luggage and he ran out, or they packed him into the hold and he ran out when they were loading the suitcases. So they were trying to fly him.
A little Shetland pony parachuting in. Yeah. Go!
Hey, I got to ask you before we let you go too. We're just keeping the whole show here. Do you have any inside knowledge on the whole, speaking of screwed up countries, on Brazil and the whole Rio and the Olympic Stadium? Apparently what happened is Rio, the city, has suspended the contracts of the people who are building the equestrian facility for the Olympics. Now, the Olympics is not that far away, people.
It really isn't.
No, they have like canceled the contract because they were so far behind and they were screwing it up. And now they got to go out and find somebody to complete. It was the tennis center and the stadium for the equestrian events. Do you have any other insight to that?
I haven't heard that much about it. I have been sort of following the story on some of the other big newspapers over here. But I don't have any inside track. But I would say that we got the Olympics in 2005 and then had until 2012 to build them. And there was quite a lot of stories of, oh, will it be ready in time? Is it going to be a disaster? And it just was like, it was all like everything was ready in time.
Oh, you guys did a great job, actually. Yeah.
But we still had the same kind of, oh my God, is it going to be ready? And so I do think that, but also I'm fairly sure I've heard this about every single Olympics and not specifically the equestrian, but just, they're not going to get the venues finished.
I was, I was in Atlanta and they were freaking out. It's not going to be ready. They're going to be doing track and field in a parking lot.
So yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it happens every time. So my advice to the IOC is to just give the Olympic Games a bit earlier so that people have got longer to build stuff. And then
But you know the way people and governments are. They never put out the money then till the very end anyway. It's human nature.
True.
It's human nature. We all get it done at the last minute. I never had my homework done early, ever.
And I'm a journalist, so I always wait till 10 minutes for my deadline. So I would be the same.
Which we're probably keeping you from right now, so you can blame us.
Indeed.
Thank you, Victoria.
You're very welcome.
Horseandcountry.tv. Well, that's...
Gosh, I got my Pride and Prejudice fake. I got to talk bucket list about Pride and Prejudice to a girl in England.
Who really was into Pride and Prejudice. Wouldn't you have been so disappointed if she said, I've never seen it? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's kind of like when somebody who hosts
another movie, by the way,
a
I haven't
horse
seen.
Radio network that has never seen The Man from Snowy River.
Yeah, or
it would
Pride
be
or Prejudice,
similar to
apparently.
That.
Yes, it'd be similar to that, yes. It would.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know where that would happen, but I mean... Gosh.
We will try it. Jennifer, have you ever tried it?
What is this?
Snowy
ice
River.
Cream? Like, it's a movie. Sit down and watch it.
You know what, Glenn? We can try it. And we're going to watch that on Saturday afternoon at about 1:15.
I'll be asleep through the whole thing. Then.
There we go. Yep. It'll be fantastic.
I will let you know how it was at islands. The end when I wake up and see the very end. It's like,
why do you guys
game.
Hate me so much? Why?
I want to know how we ended up doing a show together for 5 years. That's what I want
I
to
mean,
know.
My God, you think tofu is the word? I'm poisoning you.
You don't like Big Bang Theory. I should have fired you that day. I really should have. That should have been the day that I said, okay, that's it. Jamie's out. I got to find somebody that likes Big Bang Theory.
You fire me and I will call Kaylee Cuoco. She has friends. And she knows I think her show's terrible.
You know, if I ever get her on the show, I'm like muting you the whole time. You're not going to be allowed to.
Well, that's probably why she won't come on.
Yeah, she probably listens. Yes.
Listen, Jesus. Kaylee, if you're listening right now, I think you're wonderful. I think you're fabulous. I think you're awesome. I think your show has way too much laugh track in it. And
there's
I
no
can't
laugh track.
It.
It's actually an audience. I keep telling you that. You don't believe
that
it.
That is a love.
No,
lie.
It's an audience.
I'm sorry.
I have
you
seen
the, new one?
The audience.
Superstore? Superstar.
Hey, you know what is so funny you bring that up is I watched the first episode of that last night because I've been looking for another comedy to watch that I can actually stand. And what? So do you actually watch it?
Love it. I
figured you would because I think Jennifer's going to not like it in about 10 seconds.
It's like The New Office, but it takes place in a Walmart. It's
actually, I kind of liked it. I did.
Oh,
I will give it a second episode.
I'm never watching it again. There's no laugh track. It's like The New Office. It's great. So go check that out. And The Muppets. I love The Muppets. You hate The Muppets. Whatever.
Jennifer loves The Muppets. She loves The Muppets.
I love The Muppets.
And I like The Muppets. I just don't like the new TV show. I like all of them.
Bad for you.
Hey, is it coming back, The Muppets? Did it make a second season?
I don't know. Is that why it hasn't been in my my DVR?
Jennifer knows all this stuff. Did it make a second season?
As far as I know, it made a second season. I saw it on the guide last night, so there should be one in our DVR.
Oh, okay. There you go. Should be coming up soon.
Okay,
for all you Muppets fans out there. All right. Now we've talked Hollywood most of the day today and in England and here.
You and Australia, you go watch that movie. Because
which one was it again?
Fiona from Australia, she hosts an Australian Horses in the Morning. Yes. She is going to book him. She said she's booking Tom Burlingson.
Would you like to co-host that day?
I already told her I was.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you book him. She's like, well, I don't know if Glenn. I was like, screw Glenn. He's not on that episode. What the hell? No chance of Glenn doing an interview.
I will sacrifice my episode if you get to talk to him. But I don't think you'll be able to talk. I think that would be worse than having you know who on.
I can't even imagine. I don't even know what I would say to Jim Craig besides, oh my God, I love you so much. You're so good. And then we have a Snowy River and a Farlap and I cried so hard.
I trust Fiona though. I trust her to be sensible and actually be able to get some words out.
She might rethink. She might rethink the offer.
Well, Fiona, if you get that done, then Jamie's going to co-host that day. So.
Oh my God. Yeah, get it done. get it done. I try. You know what? You know what he does now?
How old is he
on
now?
On the side? He's like, he's so wonderful. You know, he is a impersonator of Frank Sinatra now.
He sings?
He sings, and he did like Australia's Got Talent. He was one of the judges, but he sings. And I tried so hard to book him for my wedding. I was like, what do I have to do to get Tom Burlington to sing at my wedding? I need him here. And it was, I think I priced myself out of it. Flying a group from Australia was kind of not in my wedding budget.
Yeah, that extra $20,000 wasn't
it? I considered it. That was what, but it was like 10 or 10 times more than my wedding cost. I got married on public land on the beach. So, I yeah, it was not in the budget, but God, I wanted
it. Okay, so he was born in, he was born in 56.
Okay.
So, yeah, so he's 59 right now.
Oh, he's so beautiful still. It doesn't matter.
All right, Fiona, there's your challenge. There's your challenge. Her episode is coming up. It'll be, when is she coming up? She's coming up next week. So she only has a short amount of time to get that done.
I'll do anytime, honey. Next month, whatever you need. Whatever you need. I need time to prepare anyway.
As a matter of fact, we will give you an extra episode if you would, if you get him on and he can't come on a certain day. We will make sure that happens. I'll sacrifice a day. Just
or to... we book him on this show and kick you the hell out of here.
Well, or that.
Yeah.
I don't mind a day off every once in a while.
Yeah, right. All right, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Watch The Man from Snow
River.
Boy,
was this show off the tracks. Never going to mention that movie again. Just takes you right off the tracks.
Play the music out. I want to hear more of The Man from Snow River.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't have it queued up.